raw meat, spoiled meat, and we're as healthy as ever.
A day of protest from advocates who want less regulation for raw foods to anti-corporate greed demonstrators who are surrounding the hall. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 4th, 2011. I'm Tiffany Brannon. Occupy LA is a local splinter of the nationwide Occupy Wall Street movement. Their goal is to get citizens, if not angry, at least aware of corporate America's influence on the public. Kyle Tabuenafroli went to City Hall to collect the voices of protest.
Well, I think it's like 7 or 8 in the morning.
I think probably. About 9:30. I'm not even sure. My phone's dead.
I believe this is the north side of City Hall. You've got your grassy knoll scattered with tents and people who are involved in the movement.
We have every basic need that we would hope
food
for.
Food and water.
Like, we have our own toilets, and we have a food tent that's run solely on donations, and we have
a lot of peanut butter, I noticed, and bread. Eating some pumpkin seeds right now.
It's very much like living in a small community, except you're outside in tents. Well, many people have different reasons for being here. Some of them want the end to the Federal Reserve.
I'm doing this because I want people to be aware of what's going on in the world and stop living in their like little shell and expand themselves and get to know people.
That's one of the reasons why I'm here, because, you know, I want to get an education. My sister, you know, owes $50,000, and now what the hell is she going to do? She works at Michael's.
Right.
The main thing is an end to the corporate greed and an end to the corporations making all the decisions for us.
Did it rain on you guys last night?
It's kind of a sprinkle, yes.
And they said it was going to rain today, so I guess that's why everybody has their tarps up. So everybody just set up along the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And then like around 5 o'clock in the morning, they start waking everybody up so we can move onto the grass.
We could all sleep there as long as we leave like 4 feet for the passerby to walk.
And like, I don't want to have to deal with that. So we moved our tent around like 5:45.
5 or 6, somebody usually comes like and wakes everyone up and tells them they can move back on the grass because it's so uncomfortable.
but the cement's not that bad to sleep on.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know. It kind of like, you know when you sleep on the floor for a while and it straightens out your back? It's kind of like that.
It's like really weird to see like all these moving tents just sliding over onto the grass.
Yeah. They're still in the process of organizing. That's what I'm assuming. It seems like they're still trying to get the hang of things.
They usually have like little groups or little forums, like some like around 5:30. I know that Demands meets over there. Police brutality at nighttime. They meet the General Assembly over there.
So yeah. Awesome how everyone's coming together. I love it.
Everybody is really I would say in unity. You know, we all have our disagreements. We all have our different opinions.
Well, everyone's here for different reasons. But we're all here for the same cause. You know,
right?
To help the people out and wake up America.
An 18-year-old Southgate student accused of fatally stabbing his girlfriend at Southeast High School appeared in court for the first time today. Abraham Lopez is accused of stabbing Cindy Santana during a lunchtime argument on Friday. He is being held in jail in lieu of bail. His arraignment was postponed until October 25th. Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors today renewed its reward offer of $25,000 for information leading to the conviction of whoever severely beat San Francisco Giants fan Brian Stowe. It is part of a total $25,000 reward from the L.A. City Council. The Dodgers and radio personality Tom Lakis, Stowe, a father of two, suffered brain injuries from the beating. After a year-long investigation, law enforcement officers arrested the owner and two suppliers of Rossum Foods in August. Concerns raised by their charges brought protesters to Temple Street today. Rosalie Murphy has more.
Chris Kazam hasn't eaten cooked foods since last Thanksgiving. He hasn't had a glass of pasteurized milk since 2003, and he feels pretty good. Today, Kazam is part of a protest asking the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors to confirm that private stores can sell raw and unpasteurized food products.
In our case, it's the non-modernized food untainted by processing, chemical treatment, or packaging, and cleanliness, as they call it. We eat raw meat, spoiled meat, and we're as healthy as ever.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture confirmed that it is legal to sell raw milk in the state. It's just that stores doing so must have licenses and sell only to members, not the public. But protesters want that in writing from the Board of Supervisors. They're worried because the FDA and the district attorney shut down a Venice health food store called Rossum 2 months ago. The store owner and two employees of Healthy Family Farms, a Rossum supplier, were arrested on charges of unlawful production and sale of unpasteurized milk. Prosecutors allege that the companies lacked the permits they needed. The district attorney's office declined to comment before testimony begins. It might not be a question of safety, said Dr. Gregory Stevens, who teaches health policy at USC's Keck School of Medicine.
That foods are probably slightly less safe if they're not pasteurized, but I think people's willingness to take that risk might vary. And you're willing to take the risk that it does seem like there should be ways for people to opt out.
Kazam isn't worried about safety either. He agrees that food should be a choice. If he defines healthy food differently from the FDA, he should be allowed to consume it freely.
Whatever legal substance that technically can kill you, go for it. I'm not going to get in your way. In the meantime, could I have some healthy milk?
The three people arrested in the Rossum case start preliminary hearings Thursday. Rosalie Murphy, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles is known as a car-friendly city, but this weekend, bikes will be taking over. Alex Norwick has more.
Cyclists will be taking to the streets on Sunday for Ciclavia, and this time they'll have the chance to bike through South L.A. The new route will include Central Avenue, the Fashion District, and Exposition Park.
There are many ways to describe Ciclavia, but I will say it's the biggest block party there is with bicycles.
That was Eric Alcarazas, a volunteer coordinator for Ciclavia. He's glad to see that participation isn't limited to cyclists.
You probably have skates, rollerblades. You probably have a dog that you like to walk, and you can do it in a different way, because now you're going to be walking in the middle of the street right by the yellow line. It's turning the streets into a park. Anything you could do at the park, you can do on the street now.
In addition to contributing to the Los Angeles economy, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa believes that the event will highlight the city's dependency on cars.
This isn't just about the economic impact, though we believe there is one. Look, we got to get out of our single passenger automobile. You know, this city is absolutely addicted to getting in their car, going two blocks to the market. We got to get out of our car once in a while, and we got to promote that in this town.
This is the third time that Ciclavia will be held in the Los Angeles area. The last Ciclavia, held in April, attracted an estimated 100,000 participants. The event originated over 30 years ago in Columbia in response to city congestion and pollution. Alex Norwick, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight will be cooler, getting down to around 60 degrees. Tomorrow, dig out your galoshes. It will be raining throughout the day. But the sun will be back by Thursday. Temperatures will only reach 7 degrees inland. Expect cool, sunny fall days for the weekend after the season's first rainstorm. Later on Annenberg Radio News, a middle school boy faces 32% chance of suspension in Los Angeles. Some policy experts say the chance is way too high. Civil rights leaders are calling for an investigation into L.A. County Sheriff's Department following the acquittal of two deputies in the shooting death of a 22-year-old man. Carla Robinson has more on the investigation.
Civil rights leaders are calling for a federal investigation into the L.A. Sheriff's shootings of unarmed people. This is in response to the acquittal of the two deputies responsible for the death of Woodrow Player. He was shot and killed when he pointed his cell phone at officers and tried to run away. Earl Ofari Hutchinson is the president of the Los Angeles Urban Policy Roundtable. He called the jury's acquittal of the deputies unacceptable and an insult.
When essentially they were acquitted, and we couldn't understand why, because the reasoning didn't hold up. The fact of the matter is Mr. Player was unarmed. Mr. Player was not threatening the officers. It just defied all the facts in the case. So as a result of that, we felt it's just important at this point in time to take it out of the hands of county officials and even juries and put it in the hands of the feds.
The sheriff's department declined to comment until the call had been formally made. Hutchinson says there have been a number of other incidents like Player's death. He expressed his disappointment in Sheriff Lee Baca, who had promised 2 years ago to institute radical change to minimize deputies' deadly force. Hutchinson said the recent federal investigations into other sheriff matters shows an abusive trend.
You know, if you've got racial harassment, one investigation. If you got jailhouse beatings, another investigation. Why do you think it would be a stretch that the sheriff's department would not also be involved in using deadly force when it wasn't accounted for?
A recent report that looked into several shootings showed that many victims hadn't posed any threat to officers, but were simply reaching for cell phones or had their backs turned. Carla Robinson, Annenberg Radio News.
The next time I order a venti iced chai tea latte double dirty with a shot of soy from the Starbucks on Crenshaw Boulevard in South Los Angeles, some of my payment will go to charity. Megan Suisse reports on the latest efforts by Starbucks to be a responsible corporate citizen.
A Starbucks on Crenshaw Boulevard will share $100,000 with the Los Angeles Urban League this year as part of a pilot profit-sharing program. The coffee giant's charity grew out of the community after another local Starbucks was closed. Chris Strudwick-Turner, vice president of marketing and communications at the Urban League, says the closure sparked a conversation between the community and Starbucks.
And to Howard Schultz's credit, he listened. They did really come in a positive, big way in the community to say, okay, we hear you. What are the needs? How can we help?
Starbucks wasn't immune from criticism when it closed 600 stores a few years ago. Some complained that the closures were made in neighborhoods that most needed the boost from business. The Crenshaw Boulevard Starbucks is one of a handful of locations in South LA. In other neighborhoods, the coffee shop can be found every few blocks. Still, Strudwick-Turner says Schultz has shown a personal commitment to Crenshaw.
I think that Mr. Schultz really has a game plan and sight about creating jobs. The genuineness about the needs of this community is not in question.
The announcement of the profit-sharing initiative comes a day after Schultz announced a new Create Jobs for USA initiative, which will help small businesses secure loans. Schultz has also urged other business leaders to step up hiring.
The focus will be on how can this store and how can Starbucks better serve Park Mesa Heights and be a part of the community and not just be in the community. And if other corporations do the same thing, it could be a real win-win for the community.
The Urban League plans to use the funds for education and youth programming at Crenshaw High School. Strudwick-Turner hopes the profit-sharing initiatives will be the beginning of a partnership. Megan Suisse, Annenberg Radio News.
More than 700,000 students in California were suspended or expelled last year. In most cases, the reason wasn't violence or drug abuse. Critics say that when schools use harsh punishments to deal with students who misbehave, it can set them on a dangerous path to jail. This week, there's a focus on school punishment. I spoke to Maisie Chin, the director of South LA parent organization called CADRA LA, one organization trying to get policies changed. What is the National Week of Action?
The National Week of Action is an annual week of action, obviously, from the Dignity in Schools campaign, which is a national effort to bring youth, parents, organizers, advocates, attorneys, researchers, multiple stakeholders, educators, to actually focus attention on school push-out for a week through various activities in local communities. We right now have 13 states participating. And here in California, our Dignity in Schools LA chapter has been extremely active, and we've had the good fortune of having support from other sites that are also joining with us this year. And so tomorrow we're going to actually have our event.
A fire in West Adams today forced 20 residents to vacate their fourplex. The Red Cross is now trying to find temporary housing for those people. The blaze took 64 firefighters to extinguish this afternoon, but no injuries were reported. It's not clear how the fire started. A South LA man who spent 17 years in prison is expected to be released tonight. Ariel Edwards-Levy has more.
Opie Anthony was convicted in 1994 for a murder outside a South LA brothel, a crime he said he didn't commit. Loyola Law School's Project for the Innocent helped Anthony win an appeal. A Superior Court judge found the prosecution's key witness against him, a pimp, had lied to the jury. The witness now admits he never saw the gunman who committed the crime. Anthony's sentence was overturned last Friday. Another man convicted in the murder, Reggie Cole, was released months ago on similar grounds. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Coyotes are a common sight around suburban L.A. Now mountain lions are getting pretty comfortable. A Sierra Madre man told police he looked out his window early this morning and saw two big cats lounging on his neighbor's lawn. The pair has been spotted recently in the area before. Fully grown, they weigh about 100 pounds. Police are warning neighbors to keep children and smaller children inside. The L.A. Board Supervisors approved an audit in the Coliseum finances. The Coliseum has weathered accusations of financial mismanagement, including the charge that the management had taken money from concert promoters. The Coliseum Commission will have to approve the audit. And now we go back to Madeline at ATVN News. What is the National Week of Action?
The National Week of Action is an annual week of action, obviously, from the Digging in Schools campaign, which is a national effort to bring youth, parents, organizers, advocates, attorneys, researchers, multiple stakeholders, educators, to actually focus attention on school push-out for a week through various activities in local communities. We right now have 13 states participating. And here in California, our Digging in Schools LA chapter has been extremely active, and we've had the good fortune of having support from other sites that are also joining with us this year. And so tomorrow we're going to actually have our event for our Week of Action here in Los Angeles.
And what is that event?
The event is going to take place tomorrow in the afternoon from 4 to 5 o'clock. We're going to have a cyber virtual rally with three other cities up and down the state, Fresno, Sacramento, and Oakland. We're going to have youth, parents, organizers, advocates participating through monitors and the internet and jointly speaking about the problem of school pushout.
Why have there been over 720,000 students suspended or expelled within the last year?
Well, actually, it used to be more. When Cadre first started working on this issue back in 2005, 2006, there were 73,000 suspensions just in LA Unified alone. Now, the numbers, believe it or not, have gone down, but the issue of harsh discipline is still an issue because the word harsh may be a misnomer because really there's an incredible amount of unnecessary, inappropriate, overreacting school discipline, and it's just what we mean by harsh. A lot of the suspensions, nearly 40, 50% of them are for defiance, what is known as willful defiance, which is the most discretionary category you can actually suspend a student for. And it basically is the catch-all. So now it's harsh because students are suspended for talking back, rolling their eyes, generally being teenagers, essentially, or youth, especially youth who are in crisis and sometimes just dealing with trauma, that their only recourse sometimes is to express themselves in ways that maybe do not conform to what our standardized testing-centric culture in our classroom needs. And as a result of all of that, they run counter to this rigid school culture, and it really is now punishing them for not having an outlet.
What kind of discipline should replace the current system?
Well, at Cadre, we've been fighting for alternative discipline for quite a while, and in 2007, we actually helped ensure the passage of school-wide positive behavior support, otherwise known as PBS for short. PBS is based on there being age-appropriate interventions, focusing on being proactive at the first sign of a misbehavior, engaging the family, tracking that with data, and over time making sure that the first resort is not suspension. It's absolutely the last resort, if at all. And more importantly, the underlying...
And now we're going to check in with ATVN.
Hi, you guys. My name is Madeline Segura. On tonight's show, we will dive into the Amanda Knox trial and even talk to one of our favorite journalism professors here on campus for insight on how the American media is dealing with her return to the U.S. Politics is always a hot topic. We will discuss the impact of Chris Christie's decision to reject a shot at presidency. Make sure to tune in tonight at 6 p.m. for these stories and more on Annenberg TV News.
Check out photos from our Occupy LA protest on our website, annenbergradio.org. Got tips or stories from your community you want to share with us? Find us on Twitter. Our handle is Annenberg Radio. Now, we check in with Lexi Cook to see... That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Solomon Fuentes, Emily Frost, and our producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Tiffany Brannon.